College football nerds talking. What else will we talk about this week? It's not like there's any football games going on. We're talking about Lincoln Riley going to USC. It's a shocker that came out on Sunday. And the homework's going to be a little bit different for y'all. Let us know in the comments if you think this was a good move for Lincoln Riley or if it was a bad move for Lincoln Riley. And just give us your general thoughts and we'll mix it up with you in the comments. Josh, I've got some thoughts about this. And some of it may not make USC fans happy because of what I'm going to say, but we're pretty honest and we don't chase numbers here, so we're going to say what we're going to say. I have a feeling, and I think this is in some ways smart on Lincoln Riley's part in what he's doing. I think it's very calculated in what he's doing. It may backfire, but to me, Lincoln Riley is employing the Urban Meyer model. Meyer saw a really, people don't remember this, a really down SEC when he came into the league back when he did like 2004, 2005, something like that. That was a down league. There were baked in wins in the SEC East that you bring a scheme to this league that's not seeing it and you've got an easy road to bridge the gap between when you can show wins to get recruits. And then when the going got a little tough, he took his talents to the Big Ten, where, if people don't remember, he had that 2012 team that went undefeated, and everybody says they should have won a national championship for it, even though they were on preparation and couldn't play. That 2012 team didn't, I don't believe they played a ranked team that entire season. He went undefeated. He navigated a league in a schedule where he didn't have to play a ranked team. I think the combination of Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC, the challenges of recruiting to Oklahoma, even as it is now, much less when you're in the SEC, and where the Pac-12 is right now, this is a very calculated move to basically find a place to get baked in wins, to have to boost your, you know, whatever, and leave a place that might be losing some of those baked in wins. And we're talking about maybe the USC side of things right now in this video, and there's going to be a chapter where we move to the Oklahoma side of things in this video. Josh, tell me, am I crazy, or is that what's going on?
I think there's a little bit more to it. The interesting angle to me was that Oklahoma is a blue blood, and there are not many blue bloods in college football. USC's one, Notre Dame's one, Alabama, obviously, Ohio State, and I would say Oklahoma. And I think there's something more to this too, where Oklahoma, I just don't think that as a program, they felt like Riley was quite succeeding as much as they wanted, which was kind of weird because he's been really successful and gotten into the playoffs. But I think both parties knew that the move to the SEC was going to present some challenges. And the way that they have been recruiting, the way that they have been uncompetitive versus SEC games in particular in the playoff probably really made them hesitant to invest a lot more than they already had in Lincoln Riley to give him like a $9, $10 million contract. And so now you get USC, who's desperate to get back on top, sees a guy that looks like someone that could come in and bring a scheme, and I think will be very successful, and they're willing to outbid him. It's probably related, you know, don't forget LSU was also all in on thinking that they were going to hire away Lincoln Riley. So there clearly was something of a fit or a souring issue there at Oklahoma. And I think a lot of it really has to do with the expectations that Oklahoma has versus maybe the desperation level, to speak more honestly, with where LSU and USC is. And I think in that vein, you're not wrong, but it shouldn't be taken as such a negative, because I think, you know, if you're USC, you need to accept the Pac-12 is not the SEC, and it's not the Big Ten, and it's not even really the Big 12 in terms of overall parity. And Lincoln Riley was going into the SEC, and however successful he's been in at Oklahoma, they're not winning the division that they're probably going to end up in, or if it's pods, whatever, they're probably not playing for, not even going to make the conference championship with the level of quality he's been able to turn out at Oklahoma, and they know they've not needed to kick it up another notch. But if you're USC and you can get the average overall quality team that he was generating in Oklahoma, you're going to win the Pac-12. You're going to make the playoff. You're going to be at a higher level of success than you've been in years. You're not going to be 2004, 2005 USC, but you're going to be better than any Pac-12 team has been since. And I think for both parties, this may make some sense or a lot of sense. And I think for USC side, you got a guy that's going to come in. He's going to bring an exciting modern scheme. And for Lincoln Riley, he looks around at LA. He looks at California, who's, we really felt like Oregon had a chance to turn the corner and dominate that conference. And they've really just failed to do so. And now USC can take back recruiting in the area. Riley knows that he can be what Kiffin wasn't. And he can just show, hey, look, I'm successful. You need to start showing up for games. Players are going to flock to him. You got guys like Damani Jackson that are probably going to turn right around and rejoin Lincoln Riley at USC if I had to bet. And all of a sudden, they're just going to naturally get talent, and you're going to have a guy that can take that talent, and he can spin out really successful offenses from it. I think it'll be a really good marriage, and I think it's going to be something that's going to turn, like you said it as a negative with Meyer in terms to some degree, but the reality was he was uber successful at Ohio State, and he went in and made them a playoff caliber team, won them a national title in 2014, and I think Lincoln Riley's going to be able to do the same thing at USC because of the path that's going to be in front of him.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily see it as a negative as much as I see it as calculating. And there's, look, you get one career, right? And you have to make the moves for your career that's best for you. I don't blame Meyer for jumping into the SEC and seeing an opportunity and leaving and seeing an opportunity to Ohio State. Like, what do you want? You want hardware. Do you want to climb up the mountain as hard as possible when you can take a car? Like, I don't necessarily see it as a negative. Some people are going to frame this as he's being a chicken and he's bailing. I think he saw a legitimately harder path to, if his goals are a championship, through Oklahoma than he sees at USC. And this is a good thing for both Riley and USC. This is a huge coup for USC, who nobody thought that they were going to get a name brand like this. And I do think he comes into a Pac-12 that's, look, I don't think as much as the rest of the Pac-12 sees this as maybe a bad thing because Riley might come in and dominate, it's also a good thing because it's going to be a rising tide lifts off all boats situation. The Pac-12 needs some sort of shock to get them back to national relevance, and I think this can do that because what he can do is exactly what Meyer did. Bring a system and bring some ingenuity that can bridge the gap to getting good talent. And Oklahoma had this talent advantage on the Big 12 and the system advantage on the Big 12, and that allowed them to kind of dominate. So I think until he can get that recruiting base built up, he's got enough of an ingenuity and a program building and all of that to immediately turn him around and get some wins to show momentum that then feeds on itself for recruiting. But I will say this. I don't know that it's going to be that easy. I think that there's a lot of work to do in terms of building the brand, even with the California kids. And I'm going to show a picture here now of what that USC BYU game looked like, the student section right at kickoff. And it's embarrassing. And I think there is this, there football has been gone for long enough in that region that it's going to be hard to get it back. And I'll also say this, and I'll turn it over to you, Josh. A lot of people in California are being a little bit snobby. I've seen it for years about how there's nothing in Norman, Oklahoma. There's nothing in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or in Athens, Georgia, or whatever. And there's so much in LA, and that's how we're going to attract all this talent and all these coaches. People need to realize that the city that the coach is going to is immaterial because they're spending 80 hours a week in their office. They're not going out and partying. Maybe Kiffin was, and that's why he got fired. But they're not going out and partying all the time. They're not seeing the sights and all of that as much as they are just living in their office. So you had some thoughts on how maybe Oregon might be slipping and making this even easier for Riley at USC. And I'd like for you to touch on that while we got a minute.
So the other half of this conversation is what happens at Oklahoma now that Lincoln Riley is going to USC. And one of the names on the board, oddly enough, is Mario Cristobal. Mario Cristobal, the current coach at Oregon. And there are not a lot of programs that I think can really pull from Oregon. I don't know why he's been on everybody's shortlist. The reality is Oregon does have a lot of resources, and you're not just going to outbid him to go to just any random school. I'm not even sure, maybe Florida can do it. Maybe LSU could have done it. But some of the others that pop up on the radar, it just have seemed really. I feel like Florida and LSU, it's going to be a tough pull. But Oklahoma, man, it's a name brand. I mean, that's a real school that's really heavily invested. And if you want to go to a school that has a reputation and a tradition and, expectation of championships, which I think Cristobal has struggled with the fact that as good as a recruiter as he is, you're having to pull California guys into Oregon. I'm not sure that there's a local recruiting base that's as good. You go to Oklahoma, and yeah, they pull a lot from Texas, but Texas is right there, and it's a common thing. And then you have the entire really into the Midwest where Oklahoma is a name brand, and you can recruit regionally like that at Oklahoma. And I think there could be a pull there. But if, let's say, Cristobal leaves, you talk about domino effect. Now Lincoln Riley goes to USC, USC gets better. Oregon loses their coach to Oklahoma. I don't know that Cristobal is as good as Riley, just being honest. I mean, maybe as an overall program, you improve in some areas, go down in others. I have really been high on what he was doing at Oregon, but I felt like it hasn't materialized as well as I would have hoped. But now the one real threat to USC currently is Oregon. And if they were to go away and hire, lose that traction or momentum, man, USC could catch fire. So the second half of this conversation to me is where does Oklahoma go? Because there's a lot of dominoes in play. And one of the big ones here, you want to talk about like USC making the playoffs. Well, USC's odd to make the playoffs is determined based off what everyone else does. And one of the teams taking a seat at that table is Oklahoma. And I'm really curious where Oklahoma is going to end up going to fill that last slot.
And we keep talking about how it's going to be tougher for Oklahoma and Texas as they move and transition to the SEC. There are some benefits that come from that. There's money and TV deals and a lot of branding things that you can do to sell to recruits that I think are going to be a big win. And I know that everybody's leaning on the NIL thing out at California and that Riley can leverage that. In terms of NIL, I do think that that is a potential path for some of the Pac-12 schools to get back to relevance. But let's not act like Oklahoma boosters don't have money or there's not places in the region in Texas of all places that can spend some money and get a recruit. Like that can happen. So I don't think there's a huge advantage there. I do think that there's a concern, if I'm being completely honest, and I know Oklahoma fans are going to kill me for it because you and I both said that the Sarkisian hire to Texas was a huge win for Texas. It was a big get. I want Oklahoma fans to go watch that Alabama versus Ohio State game last year and look at that offense and see that's what you're getting in Sarkisian in Texas. So you're going to get the thing that you've had at Oklahoma for years in that you've had the scheme advantage on offense and you've had a talent advantage for most of the league. Texas might have recruited well, but they didn't have any coaching to get anything to do and make any noise. That was who you were. That's who I think Texas has a head start in being, even in this move to the SEC, if we're looking at Texas versus Oklahoma. So I think Oklahoma's got to find a guy quickly that brings to the table some strategy advantages. And to me, that's Lane Kiffin. I think it's Lane Kiffin or RJ Young said today, Brent Venables, like either have a lockdown defense that is amazing, that gives you a lead on one side of the ball, or Lane Kiffin who gives you an offense on one side of the ball, because you're going to need to neutralize a talent gap that you're going to have versus SEC schools, and you're going to have, frankly, versus Texas. And so I don't think you can go with like what Florida did in getting Billy Napier. I don't think you go with a program managing kind of guy. You don't have the luxury of going for the adult, right? I think you have to go for the scheme guy at this point. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think about that, John?
I think if you're Oklahoma, you always have to go with a guy that is going to make you the program that you want to be. And I think it's always a mistake personally to try to just chase a guy that is, maybe just the straight scheme fit or produce the current momentum. And one thing for me, college football feels like it's turning again. And it feels like Lincoln Riley's scheme that had been so effective has kind of sputtered a little bit and isn't working as well. Part of it is quarterback play hasn't been what they expected. But even still, Rattler came in as a Heisman favorite and was a totally fizzed out after having a strong year last year. And I think a lot of that has to be the result of the fact that the scheme is just not making things as easy as it used to make them. So if you take that approach, you know, there's a lot of names being bandied about. Guys like, I think Brett Venables at Clemson, he hasn't been a head coach. It's debatable whether he wants to be. But, you know, Venables, from a personality fit, from, you know, a historical fit, from a cultural fit, could bring the kind of program you want to be if you're Oklahoma and you've been struggling, especially if you've been frustrated with the defense. I think Luke Fickell is a really interesting option, who hasn't wanted to leave Ohio for a lot of jobs. But I could see from a cultural perspective, this may be one of the few jobs that Fickell could genuinely be attracted to. Because I don't think Ryan Day is going anywhere for a while, and this is the kind of job you hold out for. And there's a lot of other ones on the deck. And I, you know, maybe I'll turn the conversation to another guy that people say, oh, you know, this is one that might be a really good scheme fit, and that'd be Josh Heupel, who's a very up-tempo guy, innovative offensive guy, quarterback at Oklahoma in 2000. But I question a little bit whether he can really build a program. They've been successful at Tennessee for where they were expected to be, but not massively this year. It's been 1 year. He was a little ways at UCF. I thought he was good at UCF. I didn't think he was otherworldly. It's interesting how Malzahn has been nowhere near as successful. And sometimes you feel like that, it's hard to say if that's a positive or negative for the prior coach, right? Because did he leave him junk? Or did that indicate how well Heupel was doing with the talent he had? But, you know, there's a lot of complications there too, because he got fired by Bob Stoops, and Bob Stoops is the interim coach now. And you almost wonder if there's, like, if that's almost bad blood where that one's off the table. So I definitely think the whole situation is complicated and a little bit weird.
Yeah, I think that's another side thing. I think that's ridiculous that they're bringing Stoops in cold off of, you know, the studio to be like, I don't like the legacy thing. You need a guy on Riley's staff to be the carryover to bridge that gap to the next administration. I kind of like Heupel a little more than you do. I think he was handed a mess at Tennessee and has managed to field a really good team that's completely outmanned in terms of, you know, having decent roster and still managed to win some games. So I think that's a good one. Josh, let's wind this down. And just give me, answer me two questions. One, with Riley moving to USC, are they in the playoffs within 3 years? And two, give me two candidates, the top, if you had to guess, two candidates for Oklahoma to replace Lincoln Riley.
I would say, I mean, honestly, I'd almost say more likely than not, USC may be in the playoffs within 3 years. The competition level in the Pac-12 right now, frankly, is so low that a guy that can come in and change the scheme, maybe get a good quarterback to transfer in, because we're in 2021 now, is pretty good. And then I think for Oklahoma, the two candidates that I would most look at, if I would press hard personally for Luke Fickell, I think Fickell is everything that Oklahoma wants from a cultural perspective. And you know, you still got, it's still kind of a, you know, Midwestern mindset to a certain degree. And that's where Fickell has always said he wants to be. And if you don't get Fickell, my next two stops, if it's just me talking, it's probably Mario Cristobal or Venables. And I know that's kind of an either or, I'm not sure which one you find more attractive, but those to me are the guys. I don't think it's weird to poach someone like Aranda from Baylor. I think Aranda could be good. I think you maybe take a look at Aranda, but it's always odd to poach another school from within your conference. Though I think Oklahoma has the ability to do that. But, man, I think if you're Oklahoma, you don't settle for somebody like Moorhead or Stoops or some of these other names. You're Oklahoma. I don't think you should have to settle. And if you're in that scenario, I think you take a guy. Maybe I'm almost rather take someone like Kiffin and give him a short contract. And let him see if he pans out. And if not, then I'm going to swing for the fences as soon as I'm not happy with it. Because you should expect to be successful. You're moving to the SEC. You're going to make a lot more money and revenue. And you need to have a coach to match. And right now, the one guy that I felt like has the potential to be that guy, in my mind, is Luke Fickell.
For me, I'm Kiffin or bust. If I am Oklahoma right now, I'm backing up the Brinks truck in Mississippi and trying to get him to come to Oklahoma, knowing that I got to cut line. I got to cut in line and jumpstart this thing and maybe win with someone that can be bring some ingenuity while I try to ramp up the recruiting. Same thing that Lincoln Riley is going to have to do at USC. All right, y'all, let us know who you think is going to be the next coach at Oklahoma and whether or not you think this is a good move for Lincoln Riley to USC. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.